Ceramic rotor drives on each wheel. Let's see, and these are computer-controlled anti-lock brakes. Huh, 200 horses at 12,000 RPM.
You want to ride it, Tetsuo?
All right, let's hit it!
I customized that bike for myself. It's too wild. You couldn't handle it.
I don't see how you can ride something crazy like that, man.
I could.
If you want it so bad, then steal one yourself.
Alright guys, so it's been a while since I did a podcast, and currently I'm recording this in my car while I drive home from the comic shop. So obviously I have been busy. It's been a hectic couple of weeks, so it's been really hard for me to come around and kind of record everything, get everything down. It's just been, to say crazy is the least of it. It's just been super just busy, but in a good way. The comic shop's doing great. Goblin's Heist is doing great. Creature's doing great. There's just so many things going on right now. It's kind of nuts. So to get it all going and everything else, we did have a couple of recordings that I did in the shop and everything. I just haven't had a chance to come around and do the editing and get everything together. I gotta start doing the podcast again on Florida Geek Scene. I gotta do a lot of things, man. It's just been nuts. So we did have a really cool recording. It started late, so unfortunately, you're going to kind of dive right into it. But the recording we have right now is with Fawad Siddiqui, a great Pakistani actor and a good friend of mine. Big fan of comics, comes by the store. We always talk crap while we're there. And he comes in and we just start talking about like different things. And he had a list of appropriated, I think it's explained in the podcast, so it's like appropriated heroes that have changed race, in be it in movie or in media or what have you. So it was an interesting talk about race and racism. It was like a nice class in it. Gotta say that, you know, humor's a little dark and crazy, so if you're a little sensitive about race and stuff like that, you might not be okay with it. But just so you know, everybody got some. Nobody was safe. This was an even-handed effort. Also on the podcast is Xavier Raichi with me, and Kenny Calderon, and John Ayua is somewhere in there, but he's, of course, silent in the background. And it was just us talking about, you know, race and comics and science fiction and the movies and all that. So I think it was a great, awesome time, and it was hilarious. And it's a long one, so you're going to get plenty bang for your buck for this while. It's a good hour and 30 minutes of us talking shit. So enjoy. Let me know what's up. As always, you can find me at Fwakata, FWACATA.com. And I'll see you guys on the next one. Later.
X-Men The Last Stand, Asian / Pacific Islander Fat in X-Men The Last Stand, Asian Hogan in Thor 1 and 2, Filipino / Greek descent Drax the Destroyer in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Pacific Islanders then. Pacific Islander Aquaman in Batman vs. Superman come up, although they're going to play it probably as he's white. Pacific Islander Roadblock in G.I. Joe Retaliation, although that guy's black. That's one of the few where a black character. There's like three black guys that got switched to white guys in history. There's the guy from Spawn, which, hilariously, they did. They made the villain in Spawn white instead of black for diversity. That's the first time in all entire history.
Wait, which villain in Spawn?
And there's only one, that white guy. No, not the villain. I'm sorry. His wife's new husband.
Yeah.
His wife's new husband is white. It's that guy from that ice skating movie. Back in the
90s. Wanda Simmons. And the guy from the
DB Sweeney. DB Sweeney, that's his name. Wow. From the fucking memory banks. Okay.
Oh god.
Alright, so Pacific Islander Roadblock on J.J. Pacific Islander Boba Fett and Stormtroopers in Star Wars 1, 2, 3. All Pacific Islanders.
Oh shit.
All over the universe. Okay, Latinos and Hispanics. You guys are pretty good. Latino Malbogia in Spawn. Latino the Collector in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Violator, which is also Malbogia.
Oh, Violator, right. Same
thing. No, Malbogia is the boss, and Violator is a demon.
Oh, my bad. I meant Violator.
Right. I meant Violator, yeah.
I meant Violator.
And the clown.
Yeah.
Malbogia
is CGI. Right? So, Latino the Collector in Guardians of the Galaxy. Latino Boss Moroni on Gotham. That guy's Puerto Rican as fuck. Latino Luigi in Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Latino Admiral Adama on that.
But that's not. I don't.
Latino Bail Organa in Star Wars.
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Latina Zed Martin on Constantine. Whose name is Mary Martin. Yeah. Black / Latina Kalisto in X Men: The Last Stand. Black / Latina Arclight in X Men: The Last Stand. Oh no, these aren't. Yeah, they're. Black / Latina Sarah Essen in Gotham, and then Hispanic Riptide in X-Men First Class. He's Hispanic because he's from Spain.
Hispano.
Yeah, and then Hispanic Joker on Batman TV show in the 60s.
He's Cuban, actually.
He's Cuban?
Yeah, he's Cuban. Yeah, Cesar Romero.
Arabs and Arab Americans. Only one Arab, which is Breaker in G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. Yeah! He got one. half leather.
Wait. So, what did he do in G.I. Joe?
Breaker, the tech guy, the Arab guy.
Yeah. So, he was IT?
Yeah,
fuck. Oh,
Arabs don't do IT.
Come on, man.
Indians do IT.
It's like we need the help from Taco Bender.
Arabs don't do IT, though. Arabs don't do IT. You got an Arab IT guy, you got trouble. And then half Lebanese American Carol Ferris in Man of Steel. Her dad is a Lebanese, actual from Lebanon, American pastor in Pittsburgh. I looked this shit up. South Africans. One, Zartan in G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra. They actually let Andrew Vosloo do his normal voice. He's the mummy from the mummy movies.
Yeah.
He's South African. Israelis / Sephardic Middle Easterners. Okay. These are Jews from the Middle East that are brown, and they get most of my acting jobs in Hollywood because they get to play Pakistanis. So, one, Israeli Wonder Woman in Superman vs. Batman. Israeli Lara Zorvan, Superman's mom, in Man of Steel, Israeli. And then half.
She's Israeli?
Yeah, super Israeli. She's in the.
Super Israeli.
Yeah. Sorry. Beautiful.
She gives birth to
beautiful woman. And then, finally. Best one, half Sephardic Tunisian, his dad's from Tunisia, Bruce Wayne on Gotham. That little kid is a half Sephardic Jew. I mean, he's a Sephardic Jew, 100%, but he's half Tunisian.
Wow.
You can tell from his nose, he's got the schnoz. He's got that schnoz.
Mind blown on that one, too.
So,
meanwhile on the podcast, we have Fawad Siddiqui listing all the people that have. Well, what was it? What was your list?
So this is a list of.
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. One second. I wrote it.
List of existing comic book characters whose race was swapped or who were cast with an actor of a different color in a TV or film adaptation. It's catchy. It's a catchy title of my list. Race swaps in comic characters.
Well, so right off the beginning, you can automatically say that Samuel Jackson with Fury.
Well, Samuel Jackson's on the list like three times.
What's up? Hey, what's going on?
Welcome to the podcast.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
you're on the podcast now, bro.
So Samuel Jackson is on the list like three times. Will Smith is on the list.
Taking old boy,
because remember, Old Boy is technically still a comic. It's a manga.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So Samuel Jackson could be there on four.
Yeah, but everybody was recasting Old Boy then. Everybody was recasting. Cool, that's like a cultural.
I never watched that. The new one. The new
oh,
one.
Oh, that's new, sir.
The one with the Spike Lee. Yeah. The Spike Lee one.
Yeah, no, I watched the first 2 minutes, but then somebody said there's incest in it or something. They said turn back.
Oh, yeah.
They said turn back now before you see the rest of it, and it'll mess you up for your life. So,
if you tell them,
a movie that'll fuck you up for life is a Serbian film.
Any Serbian film? Insert Serbian film here?
No, it's called A Serbian Film.
Oh, okay, cool. So Will Smith is on the list. Will Smith is on the list like four times.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
this one?
And iRobot,
and then I have issue 8 of it. And Zoe Saldana is getting up there now too.
Three. Remember the losers, like I said.
Yeah. Zoe Saldana. So who else? Larry Fishburne.
But it's funny.
Silver Surfer.
Although remember, Silver Surfer was played by this guy, the guy that plays in all the Hellboy movies.
Yeah. I mean, the body was that.
Yeah.
But I mean, so what am I trying to say with this list? I think.
On issue eight, right?
I think what I'm trying to say is
that Hollywood doesn't just whitewash things.
Well, I mean, it's primarily white to black. Okay, so it's primarily white to black swaps, but also white to persons of color and different ethnicities.
Issue eight.
I think if nothing else, it points out that this genre is not necessarily one to pick on in terms of being prone to racist depictions and lack of people of color being substituted in. And it should also be noted that most of these movies garnered wide-scale support from genre fans, despite having different races mixed in, like a Black Perry White and stuff like that, with the exception of the stinkers like Catwoman. And Holly Berry's on the list a few times, too. Now, there are a lot of genre films and shows with a wide majority of white cast members, which reflect the source material, but there have been steady efforts to open things up over the years. And what you can definitely say is that while race switching of supporting characters and villains, and even major villains, has become very common, the race of an existing leading hero is more rarely changed. And Johnny Storm will be one of only a handful of leading heroes, certainly not played by Will Smith, joining the list, and probably even superseding Nick Fury, because Nick Fury is still a side character overall. But another thing is, going through all these fucking movie listings, I couldn't help but notice, even with all these, because I was trying to prove a point that look how much ethnic diversity there's been over the past whatever years, even so, going through the IMDb listings, bro, there's a sea of white people in every fucking movie Hollywood makes. Even with all these black, like 70, about 70 ethnic people inserted in the movies in fairly prominent roles. Mm-hmm. Any IMDb movie you go through, like, it's amazing. There'll be like 60, 70 cast members, and like, there'll be three black people.
Keanu Reeves.
Keanu's Asian, right. What is he?
He's half Thai.
Really?
No, half Filipino, sorry. Half Filipino.
Say word?
He's half Filipino.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Filipino. They're taking our customer support jobs nowadays.
Yes, I've noticed. Hello. Especially for Comcast.
Hi, you're talking to Steven. I'm here from Comcast. I can help you today.
You had to do the voice. Yeah. They prep you on the voice.
I always thought
it would be hilarious if they showed like that and everyone like, hey man,
what's going on? Hey, Manji, how are you? Hey, good. Hey, what are you doing? Okay.
Is Ryan doing?
Hello there. My name is Derek. I'll be helping you today.
Yo, I love that. The super American name, because that eases me.
Hi, my name is Chad. I'm going to help you today. And they do it with the Filipinos too. But sometimes the Filipinos say the real names too.
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Juan.
Whatever. That's the thing. I like it when they, you know. But my thing is, like, I want somebody to fucking come out with a bust out a name, you know? Like, somebody.
I don't know. I just exude love for those people when they pick up the phone. Yeah. I love you. Like, I wanted to tell him, I love you. Hey, where are you? In a hut? You in a grass hut right now, buddy?
Holy shit.
Listen, man. Listen. Forget the phone call. Listen, can we get real? I always want to be like, can we get real? For no, fuck AT&T, bro. Fuck AT&T. Listen to me. What's your real name? What's your real name? You're beautiful, bro. Hey.
You're beautiful.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. I love you. I love you.
Because
they get so many shitty phone calls. You know they get shitty phone calls. Now I thought, who the can I get a fucking white person on? Hey, listen, you piece of... So I just want one little thing in there. 38-hour shift. I want them to get...
You want, shit. You want one guy sitting there going like, oh, he loves me.
No, I'm sure he just turns it. There's a crazy man on the phone. What do I do? He's not cursing at me.
Yeah. He's not telling me I'm a stupid brown person.
What do I do? It's like it almost starts to feel though like I'm talking to like a hooker. I'm like a pathetic John that's just there for the like just wants to have a girlfriend, you know? Yeah. That's not what the purpose of the interaction
thanks,
is.
I am.
Why do you keep transferring to my life?
Yeah.
No, listen.
Well, it's true. I have like that same setup where it's like, hi, this is Tracy.
Yeah.
How can I be? I know your name's not Tracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know
can we just be real for a second?
Yeah.
Let's be real. Just be real. I don't know what to do.
What the fuck are you saying?
This. And then, I don't get. I'm not saying it doesn't get sexual sometimes. Yeah. What are you wearing? Let's just for fuck AT&T. What are you wearing? What are you wearing right now?
Are you flip flops?
Are you married? Listen, girl. I want to marry you. I'm sure they get that too, though.
Yeah.
In a more vulgar concept.
Wait, well, then the other side of it, then, you know, the guy that's like lovingly racist. Like, you're cool, man. You're great. You're awesome, man. You know, you should be proud of yourself. I know you're in a grass hut fucking doing, you know.
Yeah, patronization.
Patronization.
Yeah, you know, one man's burden.
I appreciate your culture. And then they'll get the culture totally wrong, you know. Like,
yeah, no, I get that.
You know.
God, you know what I just realized? Dumb and Dumber? From Austria. Oh, you like shrimps on the bobbin, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
No, it's actually wonderful. That's a wonderful part of an immigrant's life is to see how white people fumble. I'd say white, but anybody fumbles.
Yeah.
Like with the amount of weird bowing and greeting, weird bowing and weird handshakes that you'll get sometimes.
Wow. Oh, really?
Oh,
like
wow.
People are like,
oh, and touch your penis.
Really? Like, well, see, then that's funny. Like, if you really thought that was our customer, I'd be like, wow, cool.
No, and you're just watching it like a, you're watching it like an extra point kick. is it going to go left, a little left, a little right? No. No. Oh, wide right.
That failed.
That's wrong.
That's well, see, like, you know, with Latin, you know, most of the time the whole thing is, for most Latin people, if you, you know, you're in Miami, you're Colombian or Argentinian. If you're Venezuelan, are you from Caracas or are you from Maracaibo?
Yeah. Yeah.
You leave here, you're Mexican.
Yeah.
You know, you're just Mexican. It's just Mexican. Everybody's
all
Mexican.
On the board.
Oh, man, one of the best things, one of the best interactions I had was I was living in Indianapolis and made a friend, black friend, and hung out with him a lot. And we were driving around. You know, I'm a Pakistani guy. And he's like, we're going through like the east side of Indianapolis, which is like, you know, the poorest side.
Yeah.
And he did social work, and it was cool. Kyrie Hickman, he was a hustler. He was good. He was a friend of mine. So I'd ask him what he did for a living. He said, oh, we don't have to talk about that. Like, it's all good. But it was just doing social work and stuff. But still, you can't let people know what you do too much.
Okay.
So we're hanging around on the east side of Indianapolis, and we passed the cop car. He's like, oh, relax. Play cool. I'm like, what do you mean? Because I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
Like, when you grow up as an ethnic, you either associate yourself with the white people on TV or the black people on TV. And then you become that Blackistani or that white nerd Pakistani. I'm a white nerd Pakistani. I'm like, no. All right, cool. He's like, no, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, you know when they get on the loudspeaker, they say, all you niggas get out of the car. They're talking to you too, right?
Like,
no!
Oh,
what are you talking about? It's like, nah.
It's an officer. What's the problem?
Yeah,
the
like,
fuck out of the car! Like,
well, sir, no, I'm not. Wait, you try to up the white in your voice? Like, no, sir. Listen, excuse me, sir. Officer, I'm very sorry, sir.
Officer, I don't know what's going on.
Listen, try to use some big words.
I
God, I'm so humiliated right now.
I
was, first of all, I want to apologize.
I was a little lead foot there.
I was speeding, sir. Sorry about that.
A little foot.
How are you doing today? Yeah. Which, of course, is just offensive to black people. Like, if they're next to you, they'll be ashamed.
Well, what sucks is that we can use that, and it might help. If the cop's racist and he wants to get
your ass, it does work.
But a black person can talk white as he wants,
Doesn't matter.
You're gonna get
so that breeds self-respect in them, and that breeds subservience in me.
Yeah.
That's the moral.
Yeah, there you go.
And hence, when I get the Indian guy on the phone, I'm like, hey, listen, buddy, I love you.
Yeah, I love you. Well, that's like, I'm like, being Cuban, you know, we have wet foot, dry foot policy.
Yeah.
So we get here, you're a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
So all Cubans, fuck you. I'm the same as you. You can't. You're not different. We're not different. Me, U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
You too. Okay.
Yeah.
We're both Americans.
Yeah, fucks the whole
system. Fucks the
whole
system. For a Mexican that gets here,
or a Haitian,
you're wet. You're fucking. You're not. You're probably illegally. If you're not, you have a green card. You're always on like a parole.
Who's the president of the United States?
Yeah.
Oh, that guy from Death Valley Days, John Wayne. born in East LA. Born in East LA.
Anybody?
Anybody?
But so as Cubans, you're ballsy. So when I was working in Chicago, I would just walk into places and be like, hey, how you doing? My name's Juan Navarro. My name's weird. My name's not weird. It's Juan Navarro. Here's my card.
Yeah.
Juan Navarro.
Juan. I like that. And then they, like, put their hands together and bow weird.
And then they're like,
touch the dick.
What if that was a handshake? What if that was a handshake? There'll be no lies
one
in the
tug,
world.
Just one
and we
tug.
All just touch each other's
one
dick.
Tug.
Let's just get over it.
I'm
not
down.
A gay thing. Just touching
I'm
each
down.
Other's
I'm down.
That's it. You can't fucking lie anymore.
We'll start a new thing.
Yeah. Just touch each other's
change
dick.
Change the world. One dick touch at a time.
Dick touch at
one
a time.
Dick tug at a time.
Yeah, dick tug.
Dick.
Oh!
Are you trying to milk a cow?
Yeah. It's like, now you're not saying hello. Now you're just, you know,
you're just playing with it.
But yeah, so comic book characters, number of Pakistanis substituted for white characters is currently at zero. Will probably remain at zero for a while. But in Amazing Spider-Man 1, though, for a minute it looked like in the casting notices there was a character called Proto Goblin. I forget what his civilian name is, but the character Proto Goblin. He's got like a Dutch name or something. One of these lame Spider-Man villains. Because Spider-Man has many lame villains that you've never heard of. Like the Turtle Toucher or whatever. So this Proto Goblin was cast as the Indian guy who did get into the movie being Norman Osborn's assistant, that random Indian guy walking around in Spider-Man 1.
Yeah.
Rajiv something or other. And he could have been, if they would have kept his name the same, he would have been the first brown guy substituted for a white guy in a movie.
Okay.
But he would have been Indian, so fuck that guy. Pakistan Zindabad! Yeah, we hate each other. That's the other thing we all have to pretend to do is love each other. When we come to America, like, okay, we're not near each other. No, I love him. But he's Indian, he's vegetarian, loves to not eat cows, and I fucking hate that guy!
You guys are the ones
keep
that
the communal hatred.
You guys, you know, are almost going to start World War III. We're all looking at you like, alright.
We are friends! Aren't we friends, Rajesh Gupta Mukta, but whatever your fucking name is, you fake Indian Hindu weird names! It's your 800 syllable names!
I'm learning a whole new racism.
Right?
That's like, wow.
No, I'm a super fan of, like, inter-ethnic racism. I love inter-ethnic racism.
Oh, yeah.
For example, Arabs hate us. Arabs think that Indians and Pakistanis are like laborers, migrant laborers, or like, because that's what a lot of us are over there.
And that's then, what we are.
Yeah. But they think we're dumb. There's a saying in Egyptian, it's called Inta Hindi? Like, what are you, Indian? And that's how you say, what are you,
Hindi?
Stupid?
Wow.
And I love that. For some reason, I love Egyptians for doing that, and I love that thing. Oh, and also Puerto Ricans all think that Cubans are come mierda, and Cubans.
Wait,
Cubans,
why don't we get a Puerto Rican on the podcast?
Yeah,
cut it!
No, I'm sorry. Puerto Ricans all think that Cubans are come mierda, and Cubans all think that Puerto Ricans are stupid as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But Cubans
facts
are racist,
though.
Yeah,
that's what they always say. And whenever you say that to any of the ethnic groups, The Puerto Ricans always say, yeah, but they are full of shit. And then the Cubans always say, yeah, but they are dumb as fuck.
But I'm Spaniard German, so I'm just an outsider. That's a fact.
Your racism should be like
my racism up here, bro.
You should be able to like
it's like superior racism.
Own it into like a hard light sword.
Oh, but don't think that. But that Spanish thing. I mean, all Cubans get off on that. But Cubans get off on that being Spanish and not being
a dirty Caribbean islander.
Then you get a talking price like what those dirty Mexican. Dirty South. They like rub their tongue to clean it. The South America. Oh, no, I'm not a fucking.
Oh, and that's the thing.
I'm a Spaniard. I'm from Castile. My family is from Castile.
Yeah,
from Castile.
Yeah, and no, and that's like in Venezuela. You have the people from Caracas, the Caracuchos. They all talk with the European, like,
Policía.
Yeah, and then the guy, people from Maracaibo, they tend to have, like, they're fucking more like, hey, wanna, you know? They have a more, Colombians.
Colombians, Barranqueros, and fucking Caleños or
I love it.
And then the Caleños are the ones that have their little European thing,
and
right?
And they hate everyone.
Yeah, they hate everybody.
Well, Pakistanis think that Afghans are dumb. That's it. Like, every culture has their Polak jokes, right? The dumb people in their society. So, in Pakistan, like, in Egypt, it's Northerners. What do they call them? I forget what they call them. They call them something. Saidi? I don't know. And then in Pakistan, it's the Pathans, who are the ethnic Afghans in the north. And you do Pathan jokes. And,
that's awesome. Wow. I'm learning so much.
I
don't know why. I'm like, yay.
No, it's the best. It's real shit. That's why. It's not this PC fucking bullshit of like, oh, well, it should be this. No. And
that's more unnatural.
And you learn, if people spent more time learning about each other's racisms, like the real deal, then I think there'd be more genuine, I don't know.
Understanding, peace.
Progress, stuff like that. If they actually took some time. Oh yeah, and Syrians also. Syrians have one. There's a city in Syria that the other Syrians all call dumb and stuck up at the same time.
Yeah.
And is it Homs? Homsi? Maybe it's the Homs people.
Yeah.
But it's worth knowing, bro. It's better than fucking Kardashian underwear report.
Yeah.
Give me that any day. Give me like racism around the world.
Wow. It just is so great. Like there should be like it's like a. Like a mutual Maha Indiana Jones thing where we send you out and you just look for new racism around the world.
Yeah, the racism.
You know, and
racism
just be like, these people hate these guys because of this.
And the best, I'm sorry, but one of the best feelings ever is when you get a white person to be racist with you.
By the way, let me stop you for a second and introduce the Puerto Rican in the room.
Like Kenny Calderon.
Kenny Cortina.
Cortina! One of the best things is when you befriended a white person to the point where you get them to lower their shields and actually be racist with you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's like such a sweet nectar.
Wait, this is happening now with Juan and you.
No. Because, like, I'll work hard on my white voice. You know, like, hey, what's up, y'all? I'll throw some y'alls in there.
Yeah.
Because we're from Miami. It's the South, right? It's the old South. We all do it. It's in there somewhere. So you get talking to somebody. I'll do it like I'll disarm them with like a terrorism joke.
Yeah,
I'll be like at the airport.
Wow, that's a hell of a way to disarm terrorism.
So I'll be at the airport. For example, I'll be like, and I have like a layover, and I'm wondering if I can put my bag somewhere. And back in olden times,
you're making a terrorist joke in the airport.
Yeah. I got balls. Okay, you don't do it too much. But in the old days, there used to be like a locker somewhere, and when you're at an airport, a layover somewhere, it would be. Conceivable, it would be within human imagination that there may be a place where you could leave your bag for a little bit while you explore a city and come back and recover your bag. Of course, now that's like from fucking science fiction that could happen in America, right? Because the terrorists won, but whatever. So, because they took away our right to fucking put bags in places. Yeah. So I remember I'd be at an airport, I'd be like, hey, listen, I'll think on the off chance maybe there's somewhere I can do this. The white guy behind the counter. Listen, I gotta stay here for an hour. They know. Is there any way I could put my bag somewhere? It's not, right? I'll be like, no, there's not, right? Is there any way? And they'll be like, no, sorry, sir. And then I'll like slip in, like, yeah, with the last name like mine, bro. Like I'm dreaming, right? Come on. That's the attempt, right? That's the like, okay, will this work? And then the guy has a look on his face, like, okay, are you cool? Is this guy cool? Can I smile? So you're smiling with them, like, no, it's okay, be racist with me. Come on, bro. Come on, just a little. It's okay, I like it. I like it, give it to me.
But that's just like drinking. You take that first shot, and you're like, hey, that's pretty tasty. And then after that, you're like, oh, let's drink the bottle, you know?
No, it'd be great. If we were white people, we could be racist. It'd be the best shit. But we'd always be racist. It'd be like the funnest shit on earth, bro. Oppressed people. But then they'll be like, well, at this I get a lot. Well, you said it, not me. Okay, so that's like code. Like, cool, okay. But that right there, so that's just like, or airport interaction. I don't go about my business. But if you can get, like, that's basically what you have to do with white folks when you're in their friend circles, and then you can get into their world of racism, if it exists. Mm. They're not all racist by any means, but, you know. But it's so great.
And
so
the white guy laughs the loudest.
Yeah. Well, my thing is sometimes, like, I've been fortunate enough to be in real hootenanny racism.
Really?
Like, real, like...
What's it like?
Like... What's it like? Like... Tell us the story. Like, they're just... They're relieving themselves.
Nice!
Like, they've been biting their lip all day, and then
they say the, like, white people say the N-word, like, really, and mean it, like, on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Like an American History X and shit.
And, you know, they'll try to, you know, because they'll be like, they'll slip in something to relate to you, you know. They'll be like, I like Latino.
I like you.
You know, I like you. You're good, you know.
You're one of the good ones. Yeah,
you
stopped himself.
You know. I like you, but you know, there's just times that I just don't understand, you know?
Yeah.
Like, coming from that place, like, you know?
I mean, if you don't like this place so much, then why don't you go back? I mean, look, I like you. You're good. But I mean, you know.
Well, like, I get, you know, I have the beard and everything, so I look like a shade of something. Yeah. So every time we've gone, especially when I go to New York, every time I go to New York Comic Con, the guy's a creature, kind of didn't believe this shit, and then every time we go to New York Comic Con especially, I get randomly picked.
I get randomly picked by the motherfucker, yeah.
Well, you're fucking, your name is just like...
I'm the luck, I got the luck of the Irish.
Yeah. I know, right?
It's like, if Muslims could gamble...
Well, my thing is, like, if they said, hey, look, you have that beard, you match this fucking shade, this color, fuck it, we have to. I'm not lying!
No, but I'm lying, you know what? A lot of times I don't get randomly picked anymore. Used to, nowadays, a lot. And when I see a white old lady getting searched, I do laugh. I mean, inside. I'm like,
yeah, you just go, ha ha ha.
Mushroom cloud. Mind mushroom cloud. Yeah. And then when TSA asks, no, I'm doing a funny handshake. I'm doing a, it's an urban handshake. I'm blowing it up. I'm blowing up the spot. Bye.
Yeah. No, but I'll make the joke, like, with great beard.
It's not that bad.
You know, with great beard comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
I know what you know. They're patting me down, and I'm like, I'm telling them how to do the pat down. You know, it's like, you go.
You gotta tap the nuts.
You gotta tap the balls a little bit. So.
Give it a little tickle. Hey, you go back to the universal handshake.
The one tug of the day.
Yeah,
because two tugs.
And that would end racism right there. Yeah. Right there. If the mandatory handshake was stroking a dick, no more racism on earth.
See, then, but that's the thing, because then it's like Asians would be like bowing out of that shit. Like, I know what's going on. You fucking us over in this deal. We're not part of this no more. Fuck you guys. Oh, the black guy would be like, all right, fuck it.
All right.
Oh, that's all racist.
You can shake my head from across the room.
Oh, man. Man.
Like,
notice how Kenny's voice
see, but deep is. But
I'm saying, because I snuck into the little, to the shindig like a shinobi. You know,
yeah.
Everybody knows that I'm here. I haven't said anything.
Yeah, you've got deniability, plausible term. But I, you know,
I just walked into this racist shit.
But you know what else is happening now? Like, right now in this conversation, I'm falling into my racism, anti-racism pattern. You know, like, I have that little comfort zone thing. I have the 5 jokes I do. They're not even accurate anymore. Like, honestly, when I go to the airport now, I don't get randomly searched much of the time. Yeah. Like, there was a minute after 9/11, yeah. That bag shit
was real. That was just par for the course.
Yeah, that bag shit is real, though. Obviously, I can't leave a bag anywhere. But, like, even the discussion of racism, this is why I was saying, like, it'd be better if we really learned each other's real racism. Because we all have our little, like, our what is it? Like, a stand-up comedian has the 5 that he has to do, like, the what do you call it? The 5 minutes set that they can always pull out of their back pocket. So we develop that about race and culture, and we retreat into that. But I want more reality. I just want fucking more reality. I have a Pakistani friend who grew up in South Miami Went to like Edison High School. Mm-hmm. So all his friends black, everything black, grew up black. More on the blackest Andy side. He's an accountant now. The guy is so fucking racist, though. So, like, deliciously racist.
So deliciously
racist. When I talk to him, that it offends me. Like, like I really get offended in that kind of, I have to, and he's my good friend.
So he's a box of Lucky Charm of racism.
Yeah.
He's magically deliciously racist.
Yeah. But like, we'll be talking, and his racism gets so potent. He's like, no, but they're animals. Fluffy, they're animals.
Wow. See he's that.
Like, he's like, no, at their heart. He's like, at their heart, you know they're, you know. He goes, the N-word is an N-word, Fluffy. Like, no, they are. And I'm like, whoa, 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 bro.
See, that's
how you have to put the brakes on. Like, no. And you tell him, like, bro, that's not.
That's not okay, what that's not think, cool. Right? That's
not. He's like, no, but you don't understand. I grew up. I'm from South Miami. I'm from, and I'm talking about the people I know. And I'm like, bro, that's too much for me. I'm out. And then you have to just be out. Like, all right.
Yeah.
You think about it. The calculation happens. Yeah. No, I'm out. Yeah. Let's change the subject. Let's change the subject.
Because, like, one thing is, again, you say...
What's the bias of the
If you have your fucking... Your frustration. Yeah. You know, you have your frustration. You know, like, I, you know, like in just San Francisco, I had, you know, for some reason, Chinese people hate me. Yeah. Not anybody else. Koreans, Japanese, cool. For some reason, I just don't get around with Chinese people. Like, I'll meet somebody that's Asian, and I'll be like, hey, what's up, cool? And they're like, man, I don't click with this person, and... Then later on, I was like, oh, yeah, he's Cantonese. Fucking A. Why does the Chinese guy always hate me? Like, what the fuck do I do that I'm so shitty? So you start talking to him.
You're an animal.
You're an animal.
You're an asshole.
You know? And just, you know, whatever else. And so sometimes you'll be like, man, this fucking guy's fucking Chinese motherfucker hate me. And you'll get, you know, something you want to have, like, you're driving, like, slanty-eyed piece of shit. Fine, you know?
Well,
but I'm never going to go and say you're an animal. Like, no, they put the Great Wall of China. They're fucking awesome. They're cool as shit. I love their fucking food.
One thing that always helps is when it's concentrated
on
one...
I love black barbecue.
When it's concentrated on one specific individual. When it's one specific... I mean, black people like barbecue, man.
They make the best barbecue.
Right, Ken?
They do.
And everything they've made has been stolen and exported.
I'm mad at black culture for a different reason nowadays, because I think it's letting me down as a fan of black culture. Like black. I get on arguments on Facebook with my friends and with black. I'll see a post, it's one of these depressing posts of like these pranks in the hood for people.
I remember.
Like, fucking,
I posted it. You were
people getting beat. Oh no, a friend of mine posted that too, and I'll like reply like, God, this is so depressing, bro. Like, black people, you invented everything cool, like you've been rock and roll and
hip-hop,
jazz,
and rock and roll,
and Motown. But then I'll get depressed. And, like, I listen to African, like the music, to a lot of black music nowadays, and it's so fucking guttural and just like
they bought into.
There's no metaphor.
It's
anymore.
Almost like they bought into the racism that was told to them.
There's no metaphor. You know? It's so simplistic and materialistic and all just real world, like. You gave us My Girl, and you gave us, like, I Got Sunshine on a Cloudy Day.
Mm-hmm.
Motown. That's poetry, bro.
Motown, even
blues. The best songs with the best lyrics, and now you can't muster any. You can't. It's. What is the fucking shit? What is it? Okay. Some classics from Reason Black. I mean, again, of course, they're out of context, but what is it? Your Wife, My Bitch. My Mouth, no, Her Mouth, My Dick. There's an 8 Dog song from a few years back. All the recent stuff.
Yeah.
First, let me hop out the motherfucking Porsche. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Great, okay, but. And super catchy and it's popular, but does that compare with. Ain't No Mountain High?
Yeah.
You went from that to Let Me Hop Out. I woke up in a brand new Bugatti.
What?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, I can get in on that wavelength of Rick Ross and stuff, but it's depressing because where's the good shit? Where's the really beautiful?
Well, the thing is, then, is ask, has shit gotten better? You know, has shit gotten better for black people?
Yes.
You know? I pose the question. I'm not gonna go and say definitive yes or definitive no.
Well, no. Now we got the whole can ripped off it with the Ferguson and all the black all of the cops.
Well, it's always catch up. What happens is in the world is the same thing that happened with Rodney King and everything. You know, people are like, oh, you know, they're always complaining that the cops are. Then we see a video of Rodney King and they're beating the fuck out of him. We're like, oh shit, they're beating the shit out of him. Yeah.
Well, the riots,
like when Ferguson happened and Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. They're like, man, they're killing black people left and right. And then that's when the fucking stats come out. And like, the stats have been there. The stats have been there for 20 fucking years.
Yeah.
They've been killing black people left and right. Nobody made a fuck.
No, and then these riots in Baltimore.
Yeah.
So like, we have this.
But see, that's a different animal, though.
Yeah.
Because that's almost just stupid.
No, it is stupid, but
especially by that governor or
the chief of police.
Politician busted out with, "We're giving them a space to wreck." Go fuck! You just took out people that had businesses there for like 40 years,
yeah.
Just because
I think the bottom line is that there's okay. On pop culture side, we have this political correctness that's going crazy right now, right? Where you can't even say, God forbid, like with comic books, you know, or Game of Thrones. Or Fantastic Four. What are the three big recent controversies in pop culture nerd internet bullshit land have been, okay, Black Johnny Storm and Fantastic Four. This week's, before that was Sansa Stark getting raped on Game of Thrones, right? And then before that, I remember there was what was the other one? Batgirl, right?
No,
comic nerds. Batgirl. Exploitation.
Oh,
the Joker, which was supposedly also condoning rape.
It was Trigger
and stuff. And so, and they're trying really hard. And we have a lot of like LGBT, the marriage equality stuff and all that stuff is going on.
The Bobby Drake being gay.
Yeah, Iceman, right. Yeah. So that connects with
He's full gay.
Yeah. He's full
Not
gay.
Not partial.
He's full gay.
He's full blown.
It's in the comic. They were saying like he's full gay because he's like, maybe I'm bisexual. And Jean Grey's reading his mind going, you're full gay.
Oh,
I'm like, Brian Michael Bendis is just waiting.
Oh, you didn't know this? This is canon.
There's a difference.
This is
the younger Bobby Drake.
Younger, not older.
The older. Remember, the younger one came from the past into the future.
Oh.
And there's two Icemen running around.
Yeah. Oh, how does that make sense, though? Like, think about that for a second.
Yeah, like,
all gay people are time travelers. I just figured it out. We cracked the
code. So you start gay and evolve into your
spiritual. Oh, it's a whole... I'm trying not to comment on it because I've been doing a lot of comment on all this shit. But
this shit could get us in trouble.
But that's funny, though. That's funny because this is, like, important shit, supposedly.
Yeah.
And it's all in the name of diversity and more representation... And equal representation and changing things in society. Changing things in society, right? Okay, and these are fairly new causes that we're going to really take over and change and have these representations. Great, wonderful. Got a lot of gay people on TV nowadays. We still got one fucking black guy on every show, even though there's a much higher percentage of African Americans in the country.
True.
We don't even have good quality black TV anymore. Like, we used to have Good Times, mm-hmm. The Jeffersons, mm-hmm. Cosby
Fresh
Show, Different World, Fresh Prince used to be solid. But those other ones I mentioned, even Different Strokes,
yeah.
These were cutting edge things. This is 30 years ago, bro. Yeah. Different Strokes was 35 years ago. And now, I mean, we've got one adulterous black lady on Scandal, right?
Yeah.
But apart from that, like, it's a desert for black TV, mm-hmm. I think. Quality stuff. Spike Lee isn't making those movies anymore that were, like, really saying things.
Mm-hmm. He ran out of joints.
Yeah, he ran his But, like, we've got all this, like, up in arms, we need diversity shit. And then you have, on the news, you flip over to the news and you see the real shit going on, which is black people getting shot to death by cops, mm-hmm. choked to death by cops, rioting in the streets. And is that being represented in comics? We have comics that are really dealing with, which is why we should learn each other's fucking racisms.
Yeah.
And deal with that.
And in part, learn each other's race. I mean, the thing is this, though. This is my problem with some of it because I've been invited to like Latinos or minorities in panels and shit.
Oh, I
fucking hate doing it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Can I just be a comic book creator? Can you appreciate it for my shit? And then
if your stuff's good enough.
And then the thing is like I don't really think. Sure, I have one zombie book that has Latinos in it.
Yeah.
Like I guess you could say that, but mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not there fucking waving the flag or anything else. And then when I see a black creator sometimes, there's great, great, awesome African-American creators and black creators out there that are awesome as shit. Like, you know, Mervin McCoy and all these other guys, awesome as shit. But then there's the militant ones that like, you know, I'm a Nigerian man. He's a black man from the planet Black. And he has black powers. And he's Nubian queen. It's like, come on, dude, chill the fuck out. Because I mean, that's like me making Aztec mad, and he's like fucking Aztec as shit, and his Aztec queen, and shoots fucking taco spears. Like, what the fuck? You know, like tortilla knives. It's just stupid. You know, like, let's not fucking do that. Like, that, like, you're already making something that annexes everybody. Like, nobody can appreciate this but you.
I can't even comment because.
But I like it. Side. But I like it. You know, I like
you can make German man. That didn't end well. We did German man before.
Perfect human being. No, but honestly, Germany needs to, like, get a break already.
You think?
Yeah, they need to get a break.
You know what? Believe it.
That's a time limit on genocide. That's it?
No, they're not genocide anymore. They're not genocidal. Look, they're all mostly dead, the ones that did it. They got a super good economy. They're really good at math.
Yeah.
They're managing their money. They're
really good at math and really efficient.
Hey, all us.
really good with chain schedules.
Look, all the Muslims want to move. Look, they can't be doing that shit today because all the Muslims and Turks and everybody wants to move to Germany and live in Germany now. So.
Yeah.
You know, they can't be murdering
them. They can't move to
But I mean, you're right that, like, it's not in anymore. Nigerian man is not in anymore. I think Nigerian man was like more of a thing of the 80s.
Yeah. Dude, it's surprising how many places I go to.
They still got Nigerian man out there.
You know, and then sometimes I have, you know, I don't mind talking about the art or talking about where you're coming from culturally to create something. But then I get invited and I have authors, and not only black, but I've had other ones, and they have that chip on their shoulder.
Yeah. Mm.
And then I just don't want to be on a panel with a dude that's just mad at the world. Yeah. You know, talking about, you know...
Like, okay, I'm Muslim as fuck, and I'm Pakistani, very religious. So, and I've always wanted to make comics, write comics, do comics, whatever, right? Now, I'm an actor, so I'm on TV playing all these stereotypical parts, and they try not... No writer is trying to create stereotypes, right? They think they're writing a good thing. Mm. A lot of it boils down to inaccuracy and lack of research. Yeah. Like, if the research was done, it would be good. But, the comics that I would do a Pakistani man. I would want to do a Pakistani man. But my temperament is such that I would not be able to do it as, like, a super Pakistani man throwing his naan bread discs and samosa spears and fucking, you know, like, the curry power and which is more Indian. But I could rock out on that, sure. But a bigger part of me would want to deal with what pieces of shit Pakistanis can be. I'm from the community, bro. You can't bullshit me. Like, I want people to know about us, but I want people to know everything about us, because that's what's messed up, is we, for years, right now, I think there's an effort to erase this colorblind casting thing. Is becoming an effort to erase all culture and not celebrate them. I feel like we grew up in the 80s. There was a thing of live and let live and agree to disagree. And multiculturalism. America was kissing the third world's butt and encouraging immigration to America. That's how my parents got here. A lot of our parents got here. Because there was a Cold War going on. And they were competing with Russia for the third world countries. And the easiest way to get those countries is you attract their immigrants. So my parents, all of us, they didn't hate us back then. Now this whole, like, love it or leave it shit didn't exist. Yeah. It was like, come, be engineers. Come, open your Carville ice cream stores. Come, be 7-Eleven, whatever. I don't care.
Subways.
7-Elevens. Be computer scientists. So it was nice. As a kid growing up, it was like, great. And at school, we used to have United Nations Day, wherever. Like, everybody wore their cultural clothes and walk around. I don't see that shit anymore. I see more fear in even discussing anything.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think part of the problem may have been that during that multicultural thing, us ethnic minorities, we did our best to try and present, like, hey, we're all nice and happy. We love America. Oh, nothing is wrong here. Oh, we are happy. Actually, we didn't until September 11th. My bad. In the 80s, we used to be like, we didn't give a fuck. Pakistan used to be standing in the middle of the street dissing America. They'd be like, oh, this country is bullshit, man. Look at this fucking guy. This Jewish guy is going to steal your money, and he's going to... Look, these Jews are...
I'm not laughing. I'm not agreeing with him.
Fuck it. It's all the Jews are crazy. The Jews have taken... Oh, they look at all the money. The Jewish Jews. Jews! Ah, oh, Jews! And then September 11th happens, and we're like, no, what?
What are you talking about? No,
Jews!
I was this close to getting us started.
I love, we have Islam is peace. I'm so tired of this Islam is peace stuff, bro. Look, I'm Muslim. I don't want to murder anybody, okay? My religion is not 100% about peace. I'll admit it.
Neither is Christianity.
It's not. Yeah, no. We like that, though. And honestly, back in the day, it used to be like, well, okay, Malcolm X, the movie. Watch Malcolm X movie. That's very, it's a good, he's our Islamic hero, right? That guy, Malcolm X, Brother Malcolm, Brother Malik was not about peace. Yeah. It was about rights, secure yourself, self-defense, all this stuff was in it. Mm-hmm. And just war, and, you know, we've got what a tradition.
Peace by any means necessary.
By any means necessary.
Yeah.
And Islamic culture is 1,400 years old, and it's got a lot of peaceful things in it. It's got military things in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got civilization and art and culture and everything. It's a whole picture. If you want to learn about it, pick up a fucking encyclopedia and read about it. Or pick up a book and read about it, and you'll get a nice view of it. Just like South America, just like anywhere on Earth. If you actually care to learn about their racism and their war, and there's, you'll find a lot of nobility and cool shit in there. And we had war, but we had just war, too. We had knights, the Fadis. He was our concept of knighthood. And it was supposed to be, it's all supposed to be good shit. And people are now, because of specific political situations and their economic context and their political context, they're resorting to guerrilla warfare against civilian populations, which of course is a bad thing. But that's not the whole history of 2,000 years worth of religion and culture. Yeah. 55 countries are Muslims. Hundreds of languages. Fucking from all. And you want a simplistic.
Yeah.
On both sides. We want a simplistic thing. We want to Muslims want to present a simplistic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the non Muslims, everybody just wants to hear a simplistic thing.
Well, I always say the same thing. Like, what if we flip the script? And all of a sudden, 9/11 wasn't. Was it 23 Saudi Arabians or whatever? Yeah,
Egyptian Southeast.
Okay. Let's say there were 23 fucking Brazilian Argentinians that did that. And Al-Qaeda was Al-Quds or whatever the fuck, and there were Argentinians hiding in the mountains of the what, you know, I always think they would, it would just
hide behind that, hide behind that.
There were a bunch of fucking Mexicans. Bunch of fucking Mexicans, a bunch of fucking Latin, and then all of a sudden that would just shift the change to there.
But it wouldn't, because they don't worship a pedophile like that Mohammed. He's a pedophile.
Exactly.
Hey, how come you worship a pedophile? Let me ask you something, okay? You don't think that's wrong that your God, your prophet is a pedophile? Oh my God, nonstop, bro. The Islam haters?
Yeah. Oh no, but I mean, when you have hate, it's just, I mean, it's so easy. It's the dark side.
But I like hate.
It's the dark side, but it's the lightning, and it's all the
I think they're giving hate a bad name. I think you need some hate in the world. You need hate. You're not hate things.
That's fast food hate.
Hmm?
You're talking about, you know, you want the refined.
That's McDonald's.
No, we can hate each other. No, I grew up Muslim in America, and we thought all the Christians and Jews were going to go to hell, probably. But all my friends were Christians and Jews at school, at college, because it was understood. Hey, by the way, my religion thinks you're going to go to hell. You know that, right? I was like, oh, wait, my religion thinks you're going to go to hell, too.
Yeah.
Ah, cool, high five. Yeah. A little bit of hate.
That's when I loved it in, like, what was it, South Park, the movie? When everybody goes into the aisle. And they're like, wait, well, why are the Jews over here? And what about us? It's like, oh, the right answer? Mormons.
Yeah, Mormons.
The right answer was Mormons. Ah!
No, but now religion's out the window now. It's all, like, there's so much of the atheism is the big thing nowadays. And
John, you're going to enter the room right now.
John.
I don't know what to do with myself anymore. It's so much. I got to hide it. I got to hide my religiousness.
Really?
When I do acting and shit, you can't. The people can't handle that. They don't like it.
Really?
They don't
like
it.
You're not in an acting atmosphere.
No, you can't. The liberal people are the most closed-minded people on earth. If you don't agree with them, you would think. No, I get way more compassion and shit from, like, religious people than religious. Yeah, they care about people. Liberal people. Actors don't know how to treat. A lot of them were raised wrong, bro. Like, some actors' friends before a theater show, two of them got married. And so they were getting together before the show. And I hear that, oh, so my friends are getting married. Okay, well, I went to Westland Mall and I went to the little gift store because I was passing by and I got a little plaque or some shit. And I said, hey, cool. Can you put just married or whatever? $10, $15, I don't know. I showed up there. I said, hey, guys, here you go for your wedding. It was at the TGI Friday or some shit or something. And they were, it was like I had given them a fucking, like the Holy Grail. They were like amazed. They were like, oh, what? You're so not high. What? They're blown away by a wedding gift. Because all these actors in that group that I knew at that time were just from such fucked up backgrounds.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I give you a bag of shit instead.
Yeah.
I was the only one that thought, because I was raised that way. Like, no, you must.
Well, let me tell you something. Dude, let me tell you something, too. And that's like a joke, like, I don't know, as Hispanic, but sometimes, like, we'll be like, white people are a little weird. Yeah! Because like, there's that fucking thing of like, oh, you go to somebody's house, they invited your house to a party. You take something. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to take something. Like, the argument I have with my wife, you know, is, what the fuck are we taking? You know, like,
get
you
take a bottle
of wine, what are this? And you say, you know, you say hello to everybody when you come into a room. Like, that's a thing. And a lot of, you know, a lot of white people don't do that. Yeah. Or like, somebody comes into your house, you greet them. Because they came into your house.
Yeah.
And just get, you know, and it's one of those things where I'm like, well, why the fuck do white people not do this shit? Like,
yeah.
Like, do they not know it? Is it not introduced? Is it lost?
You know what you gotta
listen to? Every other culture has it.
You know what you gotta listen to? A Prairie Home Companion. That's where all the white secrets are, bro.
You think? Hey, just that's some ultra-white Minnesota shit.
Kenny wants
to laugh. I love it.
I listen, you know,
that's where they keep their secrets, is a Prairie Home Companion.
Me, though. I listen to it.
I like it. It's soothing. So nice. It is nice. It's great.
It's going so open-minded. Nice,
it just stopped him from talking. He's like,
it stopped him like completely in his tracks.
Garrison Keillor with that beautiful writing and shit.
I have no idea what type of podcast I walked into, bro. Like,
we're talking about comic books, just like usual.
Yeah. I know, how the fuck does that have anything to do with comics?
You didn't read the new Prairie Home Companion?
This all started with comic books, at least.
No, it started with Black Johnny Storm.
Oh, okay.
Black
okay.
Johnny Storm. I'm mad because I think they both should be black.
I'm mad
both siblings should be black. Otherwise, you're changing the story.
No, but the truth is,
they're turning into different strokes with powers.
Well, we should all be mad because it's being made. Like the movie itself.
Yeah, the movie. Yeah,
you know, I'm not opposed to diversity in comics, regardless of, you know, sexual orientation or race or whatever. But let's make new characters.
Yeah.
You know what
that's
I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah.
Like,
and they're rehashing a shit.
Yeah. And rehashing and revamping of universes. And,
yeah.
You know, I think that whole multiverse thing, although cool, it does have a cool factor. It's a cop out.
Yeah.
It's a cop out.
Black Superman that Grant Morrison created is never going to get anywhere for that multiverse thing, because exactly. There's no specialness to it.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'll tell you right now.
And it failed with Steel. If you put it in perspective, it failed with Steel.
Steel was a black guy who had Superman-like powers in a metal suit or something. Be cool, but he was like a shitty Iron Man.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, but it wasn't the same. But you're wrong, because they didn't try to replace Superman with Steel.
No,
they created a black Iron Man character in the Superman universe. And I think they were successful in that he persists until New 52. He persisted and he became part of the Superman family of books, and he's there.
Mm-hmm.
But the black Superman that they did was what am I trying to think?
He's the president too and shit.
Oh yeah, the Grant Morrison one is ridiculous. It's so
kind of hilarious though.
It's
Super Obama. It's what it is.
It's Super Obama.
It's Super Obama. You look at him, it's like...
No, it's just not a good enough book. And it's not even a book. It's not even a series. It'd be one thing if they did a new series about a new character.
Marvel
or DC right now, I'll tell you right now, if Marvel or DC right now came out and their editor-in-chief, either Axel Alonso or this other guy, Jemas, came out and they said, we're not changing shit for the next 10 years. Promised. There's a contract... To all our fans, we're not going to do shit. There's no new worlds or nothing. We're going to do events, but we're not going to change. No revamps for the next 10 years. They would up in sales with subscribers.
Do you think so?
They would get married. Because if you say, I'm going to get the next 10 years of stories without anybody charging anything, I'll accept it.
But then also this gimmick of trying to get you to buy every single book that the publisher puts out.
Well, that's it's also... Right and, now, and that's fucking Convergence is a piece of shit. And that's also them controlling market share.
Yeah.
It's really they make their money with their fucking Batman makes their money all the time. Superman, no matter what, they make their money. Same thing as Spider-Man. What happens is we want to spread across, because then the comic shops have to order X amount, and what happens? You don't order indies. Mm-hmm. I'm learning that as an indie publisher and as a comic book shop, learning that on both ends. It's harder and harder for me to turn around and ignore an event and say pick up something I really give a fuck about. You know what book I would love to have on the shelves right now? Love to have the shelves, but I know it won't sell for shit. Is Usagi Yojimbo.
Oh, yes.
I would love to have that on my shelves.
That one.
Great book.
No one's
gonna feel guilty. I can't even talk about comic conversations at all. I don't have any right, because I don't buy shit. I buy.
Get the fuck out of my store.
I buy. But I don't buy, like, enough. I'll buy, like, I have four series, and then when the habit gets... It's drugs. I mean, when the habit gets worse, then I'll steal more from my family business, and I'll take a little more. You're trying to get me to steal more from my family business to get more of these shitty books.
Yeah.
But, like, like a Star Wars I was getting out of nostalgia. They killed my universe, but I'm still getting it because I'm a fucking addict. Whatever they want, I'll do whatever. Are they listening?
Jar Jar?
Are they listening? Whatever you want, bro. I'll buy Jar Jar Binks.
Oh,
put him in a series. I'll fucking buy it.
I'll do it. I just see George Lucas oiling himself like, I'll take off your shirt for
I'll
a while.
I'll do it. At some point, you got to realize when you're not in control, and you're just that's the first step, right, to recovery is acceptance. But and those new Star Wars books from Marvel are ridiculous. Those books, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening, people. Luke Skywalker is turning on a lightsaber and killing a stormtrooper. That's it. That's all that happened in this issue. Like, they're covering new ground.
No, of course not. Oh, they can't fuck up the movies.
Oh, well, I guess they learned from Dark Horse and all those poor book writers before. They did such beautiful work for 20 years.
Yeah.
Got shat all over.
Oh, is that called, is that your canon? Is that the canon you got? Taking 20 years to do it? Hey! Means nothing.
Such a good universe.
Means nothing. Yeah.
Three of my universes have died. Not three of my, but three comic book universes. Anyone notice? Three continuities, 20-year-old continuities have died in the past year. I'm sorry. Just 2012 to
Star Wars.
Well, DC Comics, dead.
Yeah.
Star Wars, dead. Now Marvel Comics, dead. The three, actually, those are the three major, the biggest.
Is it really necessary?
Three times, though, right?
DC's on its third time right now.
Third time.
DC did it three times. With Zero Hour.
No, pero those were soft reboots. So that's been going on since Crisis. The soft reboot.
Okay, Crisis. Which was one?
So, well, they did Crisis, then they did 0 Hour, and then they did...
No, the Crisis, New 52, and this one, Convergence.
There were soft reboots. And once Geoff Johns took over, and Dan DiDio took over... They started to do soft reboots of individual characters. Like, they rebooted Superman a couple times there.
Right.
Where they had, like, that Mark Waid did a new Superman.
Earth 1.
Yeah.
If you consider Superman the hallmark of DC Universe, because he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a creation of it. And with Crisis on Infinite, Man of Steel by John Byrne was where they rebooted. And that was the first, and then they did it with every character.
Yeah.
So after 0 Hour... He didn't get a hard and fast new one, but then 0 Hour rebooted the whole continuity a bit. And then Mark Waid's Superman Rebirth, Birthright reboot.
Mm.
And then Geoff Johns came in, and Geoff Johns and Dan DiDio decided that they wanted more of that Krypton with the headbands shit. You know, which mind you is original
everybody
Krypton.
Everybody sweats a lot on Krypton.
It's original Krypton.
Keeps it out of their eyes.
No, when you go back and watch the original Superman serial, which is the first visual representation of Superman in, 3D. They had the headbands, and they had the Flash Gordon type of, like, that neck guard thing with, like, three circles on it.
Yeah,
and weird studs.
They're messy eaters. They have to have bibs.
Yeah, the bibs. The space bibs.
The
space bibs. Boots. Boots, space bib.
Kryptonians bad at eating. They just
belt.
They're the space Greeks.
Gauntlets.
That's what it boils down to.
Cuffs. Captain America style, like, cuffs, but no gloves.
Yeah.
They're fucking Greeks.
Yeah. Well, it's Flash Gordon shit.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the Superman comics, once they got into Krypton, the radio show, the TV show, I mean, not the TV show, the radio show, the serial, and they literally retold that same exact episode of the first episode of the serial. When you watch the first episode of the George Reeves Superman show, is the same same story. It's just a redoing. They literally just reshot the same episode, same costumes. So
the
Superman,
The Fleischman
cartoon didn't go to Krypton, I don't think. As much.
Okay.
But they... So, like, Superman... You can say Superman is DC reboot, and they started rebooting him a little bit toward the end, and then they did New 52.
Well, because you had the crazy fucking stupid realm of, like, Superman's best friend Jimmy Olsen fucking world. You know, and the spin around the earth and go back in time.
Save Lois Lane.
Some movies.
Well, his powers have grown so much by
those
the late
powers
80s.
Are just ridiculous.
But the thing is,
and it was Krypto,
Supernova. But the thing is that you got to understand is that Geoff Johns and Dan DiDio, in my opinion, they're fans of that period of Superman where he had crazy fucking powers. He could do whatever he wanted. Where he had telekinetic vision, rebuilding the Great Wall of China, which he did do in the comics. And he had, like, there's a nice blog. on Comic Book Resources, mm-hmm. where the guy like lists all these crazy, fun the Superman
shit
stories.
That Superman's done.
Yeah, and weird power. Superman had a power like to change his face at one point.
Yeah, I remember
by controlling. His
oh, there was there was another blog. It was a Tumblr, and it was like a blog where it was just the fucked up covers of Superman. Like, oh, Superman's a dick. I think that's what it's called.
The boner, it, super boners.
I don't know if it was a super boners, oh. where it was all the ones, I don't know, we're getting into like a
dark universe. Oh, no, type super boners into Google, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Super moaning for a boning.
Well, no, type Superman DC Comic super boners.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah.
It was all the times that Superman's super an asshole. And it was all the times that it's like, sorry, Lois, I can't save you, because blah, blah, and he's flying away, and she's like dangling off a fucking bridge. And it was just like one cover after another of Superman like not doing shit. Saying so Superman, that would be like Jimmy Olsen getting crushed by a car.
I mean,
like, sorry, Jimmy, I gotta go buy a flower or something. Yeah, like that. And it's just like, well, that was just like, the covers,
like the real campy covers.
Yeah,
Silver Age Superman. Yeah, I mean, that was very much for children, and the morality was very simple. The idea of man and woman, and the Lois Lane
and Lana Lane fighting for Superman.
Yeah, and Lois was always trying to pull tricks on him to domesticate him.
Yeah, like, oh, I want to make sure he's going to marry me now.
Yeah, oh, she tricked him into putting a ring on Superman's red face. Like, oh, shit, I put a ring on her.
Great
oh.
to do that shit, right? Do that shit like a TV show there, but Mad Men that shit a little bit.
Yeah, Mad Men Superheroes.
Yes, Mad Men Superheroes. Like John Hamm.
50 Superheroes.
With like a cigarette of Superman.
Yeah,
that's with a heat vision.
Yeah.
That's kind of what the Tick kind of was, but more. Yeah, more would be better.
Sort of like a OP Archie comic kind of situation with like Betty and Veronica and Jughead and
Predator
just with
just uses them. Yeah,
I'm down. But like the version that DiDio and John, because my opinion about modern comics is simple, is that Marvel, what we are witnessing over the past 10 years is two writers taking over the two biggest comic book universes we have. We have Geoff Johns taking over DC Comics, and we have Brian Michael Bendis taking over Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
And it happened in the 2000s till today. Both writers started off as new firebrands. They were then systematically given every single major book to revamp and redo and take over and course correct or whatever. Reinvigorated it, yes. They did great writing at the start. Geoff Johns on JSA reinvigorated JSA. Brian Michael Bendis on Ultimate Spider-Man.
What would you say is the major difference between those two?
The difference between those two is Geoff Johns, even though he tries to say, and DC tries to say, that the over-the-top like darkness that the 90s brought to comics and to DC, nowadays DC's official line you hear a lot is, oh no, we got too far away. They got too far away from the characters in the 90s. When Hal Jordan became a drunk and a psychopath and killing people, and we killed Superman, and Batman became this guy with knives, and he was killing people in Nightfall, and his back got broken, and all that stuff, and every single hero became dysfunctional, which is what happened after Watchmen. We went too far, and we want to go back to a golden age. So Dan DiDio and Geoff Johns tried to pitch their whole thing before New 52. Their whole thing was, we're going to bring these characters back to how they should be. That's why they brought back, and the Silver Age is what they meant, or the late Silver Age, Bronze Age. So that's why they brought back Hal Jordan as Green Lantern. They made everybody young again. Hal Jordan had gray streaks. Everyone was about 5 years older than they were.
Older in the Parallax saga.
Yeah, they're about 5-10 years older than they were by then. So Geoff Johns and Dan DiDio said, no. We want them to be perpetual 25 again. And it should be Hal Jordan, Green Lantern. Barry Allen should be the Flash. He hadn't been the Flash for like 20 years.
Yeah.
He needs to be the Flash again. And then the Superman should be like Krypton. They should have headbands. And there should be multiple worlds again. We like multiple universes. We like the Legion of Superheroes like they were. Earth 2, Earth 3, all this shit. So they brought all that back. That God Wall, all that weird fucking stuff. So supposedly they did it to bring it back to a gentler, kinder time and more fun in comics. But in actuality, when you look at what they did to the DC universe, Geoff Johns and DiDio, Geoff Johns was ruthless. He destroyed, and I mean murdered, like half of the characters. And in under his tenure, all these books, I think Final Night is where he like actually came in as one of the big writers and forces. That event where like the whole world got dark and there were so the big stories he used to wrap up the DC Comics universes were Blackest Night, after he went on that fucking orgy of power rings and Green Lantern and red rings and blue rings and yellow rings and everybody, you get a Oprah no, Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey, you get a ring, you get a ring.
Well, Batman got all the rings.
Batman, you get all the rings. Then he killed everybody. And, like, you go character by character. Aquaman. His city is submerged. His people disown him. San Diego gets submerged. Then people turn on Aquaman. Then he comes back. Then his wife gets murdered. His kid gets murdered. His partner gets murdered. He gets murdered. Like, it's a nonstop fucking horribleness. And he did it again. Green Lantern. He killed a bunch of the cast in Green Lantern. He's really good at that, actually. And he'd been doing it since
JSA. And making a fucking bummer?
Yeah. He'll create... No, he creates a really dramatic situation and stakes.
No, you know,
but then
what?
He'll do it without thinking, like, I feel like. He'll just fucking kill people. And that's what they did. They killed the whole universe then. With a big zombie story.
Well, you know what? You hit something on the nail for me. Because I always ask myself, why can't I enjoy DC? Why can't I enjoy it? I cannot enjoy that
They suck the fun out of it.
And you just said it with the Green Lantern. I liked Kyle Rayner. I liked Ron Mars's.
And Kyle Rayner's about to get killed off, or if he hasn't gotten killed off.
He's Ion, but he's like a third wheel. Blah, blah,
blah. I love Hal Jordan. I started reading Green Lantern 91 reboot. So that badass. I remember Emerald Dawn. Mm-hmm. And so you had the Emerald Dawn miniseries where you're learning about young Hal Jordan, and then meanwhile in the regular DC books there was one page ad. It's a Grand Canyon or a canyon. You see three Green Lanterns coming at you, flying through it.
Wasn't it Kilowog?
No, it was Hal Jordan with gray hair. Uh-huh. It was John Stewart and it was Guy Gardner.
Oh, terrible.
And the thing said once there was a core of thousands. Now there are only three. That's all it said. It was badass. I loved it. And I followed that book, and they built him up, and then he went crazy, and he killed all the other Green Lanterns, and he died, he went off, and even that, I was like, this is fucking amazing, this is crazy, I can't believe they did this. And then they made Kyle Rayner. I followed him for a while. I eventually lost interest in Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, there was a dwindling. There was a big dwindling.
I think Winnick.
They didn't know what to do with him.
Judd Winnick. I didn't like Judd Winnick. I like Ron Mars. When Judd Winnick took over, I didn't like it.
Judd Winnick kind of starts strong and finishes badly.
Yeah. I group him with like the Geoff Johnses and the these people. Mind you, Geoff Johns is why that Green Lantern movie sucked too. Yeah. He was a creative.
Well, now I'm more of a Marvel guy than ever.
Me too. And I'm not a Marvel guy at all.
No.
I had to, because this DC shit was so manipulative eventually. And once they took the underwear off the heroes.
That was it?
It wasn't just that. That meant. That move came along with a lot of other moves. But
it was a symbol.
I picked up a Batman comic from a dollar bin or whatever the other day. It was from like 1992. It was just a standalone Detective Comics little issue written by Kelly Puckett. A nice, simple mystery in one issue. Read it, loved it. You know, it didn't change my life. It was just a solid little Batman story. Mm-hmm. And can you get that now?
Nope.
And he had fucking underwear on outside of his pants. And I was not like, well, this is so unreal. His armor. What is this? This guy would be so stupid in real life. No, I was reading a Batman comic book.
Yeah.
So Geoff Johns does that shit. And what does Brian Michael Bendis do? So, okay, Brian Michael Bendis. Brian Michael Bendis is a good writer. Jinx is great. If you read his indie stuff, it's great. If you read his indie stuff before it became big in comics. Huh? Powers. I love Powers. The guy cannot really write dialogue in that all his characters all talk like Brian Michael Bendis. And you often cannot tell the difference between who is talking. Like if he does a panel where there's from a distance and it's those things with like five word bubbles all next to each other connecting, you can't tell who's speaking because they're all doing that same sarcastic, quippy. But the guy can't write for shit. I think he might be a little bit of a dumbass, but in like an endearing way, like us.
Like an endearing way.
I think. Because like, the guy couldn't write Shakespeare. Alan Moore, or Grant Moore, they can write some fucking Shakespearean shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but Alan Moore writes paragraphs.
But they're like
page of fucking two-page, what was it, the three-page intro to League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, the second volume?
Yeah.
Just for the first fucking spread?
Oh, I'm a nerd for that. I mean, I jerk off to that. But there are other writers, the normal writers, even.
I feel like there needs to be less English writers.
Well, they're already kind of.
I love Warren Ellis. Grant Morrison. Just, fuck.
But writers that can create different voices, John Byrne can create a different voice for a different character. Kelly Puckett or whoever, like some of these journeyman writers that have just been there doing the thing, Marv Wolfman or these guys, you can have a different voice. Brian Michael Bendis cannot really write different voices. He writes a thing, he'll come up with an idea, he's got a thing, and he writes it, but everybody, I challenge you, pick up a, let's get a fucking Bendis book right now. And I, mm-hmm. Dina Pilgrim and Christian Walker, they say this, you can't tell who's who. And in his, but he did fantastic with New Avengers. Mm-hmm. His ideas were good.
Well, remember, keep in mind that Brian Michael Bendis is also the one that destroyed the Avengers.
Yeah, he killed him in last Avengers Last Days.
Avengers Disassembled.
Disassembled, yeah. But he, what does he do? He's good at bringing modernity in with Spider-Man, with Ultimate mm-hmm. Spider-Man. He made it modern and fun and edgy, and he also adds some drama. Mm-hmm. Some drama that resonates right now, but he doesn't go as in as far as extremes as Geoff Johns and DiDio did with just fucking butt raping these characters. Like he kept them.
Well, DC has kept the fucking the girl in the refrigerator mentality of just.
I don't mind the girl in the refrigerator, but make it worth something. Make it mean something, and also and keep the core concept of the character.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because like in Marvel, like you feel death. Yeah. Like you'll feel it, you know. Even Falcon's Falcon got fucking killed in an issue.
I just said that yesterday. I was like, "Yeah, bro, I can't believe."
And people were like,
"The Falcon, dude.
Bro. Fuck, bro, the Falcon died."
Man. I've never been a Marvel guy. I've always been like, just in past. But the stories that really I gained respect for Marvel as a reader of the past years were X-Force Ecstatics, mm-hmm. where they let Mark Millar do some really fun subversive comics. Mm-hmm. That were intelligent. So I was telling you guys, like, we're talking about stereotypes and stuff. I think it's one of the most hilarious thing is in one of these issues of Ecstatics or X-Force, he introduces a bunch of international heroes. They all die, like, a page later. And one of them is called Blind Alley. And his intro was, like, they're, like, little one-panel introduction to each character, like, old-school Marvel style. Like, you know, like, with Daredevil. Like, what Stan Lee used to do at the top of the bullet, the little thing.
Yeah.
Like when a radioactive isotope took his sight, it granted Matthew Murdock with amazing powers beyond normal men.
Mm-hmm.
Now he prowls the streets as Daredevil, whatever, that thing. So this guy Millar and Mike Allred, who's getting a lot of nice success right now for My Zombie. So in one issue, like they kill off the old X-Statics team, and here's a new team. These guys die in a page. Or they retire the old characters, they introduce new characters, they die in a page. And he gives a little Marvel style intro to each. So this guy's was. When an American bomb landed in his Baghdad neighborhood and robbed him of his sight, Ali Ben Faluzian thought that he had lost everything. But suddenly he developed amazing powers, and now he fights crime in Baghdad as Blind Ali.
Oh, my.
And there's this guy in a jumpsuit, and he's got his Arab headdress on over his eyes.
Wow.
With the head thing, the headband thing. It's fucking hilarious.
Wow.
It's fucking hilarious.
You were just like,
I love it.
Tasty.
So that, I think there was a period right in those years, I don't know what years they were, those 02, 03, somewhere in there, where Grant Morrison took over X-Men, New X-Men, and I'm a Jean Grey fan, so I was mad about all these Jean Grey hate, but I had to respect what he did with New X-Men. It was cool, it was edgy, it was fun. And then you had Ecstatics and stuff, and the Black Captain America story. I really liked that. Kyle Baker did.
Oh, yeah.
That shit was strong.
I was surprised they did that.
That shit was strong.
But it was well done.
And exactly. And right now, all this drama over, which character is black and white and stuff, I feel like going, bro, this is bullshit. And I've heard an argument that, we have to change the race of existing characters because you can't create new characters. They don't get support. And they're not as good. And
well, it just depends on the writing and what you're doing.
That's a cop out. Yeah. Again, I mean,
look, Wolverine back then, before Alpha Flight, the whole thing with Alpha Flight, you know, he was a brand new character, and he was nobody back then.
Yeah,
incredible movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mention a name: Stephen Strange and what was it? Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is one of my favorites. But you ask anybody else, like, what's Doctor Strange? Who's Doctor Strange?
Yeah.
And now people are like, oh, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to do that. It's going to bring the attention. But what I don't like is just that the idea that you have to appropriate these characters to manipulate audiences to like black people or gay people or Pakistani people. This is the only way you can do it. I would say no, man. That Captain America story with the black Captain America was fantastic.
You're pointing red at Kenny, by the way.
That guy.
Black guy.
Listen, guys.
Hey, I'm telling you.
Listen,
I like black Captain America.
That black guy. No. Because he agreed with me. That's why I pointed it.
I'm the only black guy in the room. Yeah. You know,
you dug it.
Yeah.
No, it was a great book.
Oh my God.
Excellent story.
And it made sense. Historically, the Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I was gonna
and he'd
say, like,
be before Steve Rogers. Of course, he'd be before Steve Rogers. They have to test it on somebody.
That whole Black Captain America story led into the Young Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah, get the grand.
Which was a whole new team.
But the shit died, right?
No, they're around still.
Yeah, but it didn't make a big impact, right? They're not selling
those
books.
You're so dismissive of that team.
Yeah.
They're not selling those books.
Christ. Now they're going to come back as Runaways.
Yeah.
Are they
making that money, though? Because that's what the whole argument is, right? That you can't do that because...
Well, the thing is that I think one thing is the apparent money, and I think it's also apparent support. And it's like if you have a hard cult following in some way, that it's the same way that Agents of Hate, you know, by Warren Ellis. There's like a hardcore following for that book. Everybody loved that fucking book. It was like all the superheroes, but you know, Agents of Hate was like almost like an anti-Marvel book. It was like if you read that, it was like they kind of were shitting on it. Like Fing Fang Foom would come out, and it's like maybe he's mad because he has pants on.
But wait a minute,
like maybe he wants to take the pants. He's a fucking Agent Dragon from China, and he has pants.
But if you want to go that route, you can go with Invincible. Invincible is a parody on everybody.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of it going around now.
Oh, that's been around. I think everybody did. Invincible was Robert Kirkman's Superman book Superman Spider-Man book he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's a book you always
Invincible,
wanted to do.
Invincible, Irredeemable, Empire. There's so many of these books now that are turning back on the media.
Just like Alan Moore did with Watchmen. Watchmen was his love letter to these characters. And the hierarchy and the archetypes and all this shit, and said, all right, everybody's been doing it since then. Yeah. I mean, Wildcats was, you know, a fucking love letter to fucking X-Men.
It was.
Yeah. You know?
Well, that was Jim Lee's baby.
But it comes down to, okay, we had some Jewish guys in New York that created these characters that have lasted and have grown over 100 years to the level of, you know, just mass worldwide appeal. You got Superman, Batman, everyone on Earth knows who they are, Captain America. In the 60s, you had another Jewish kid, Jewish guys, Kirby and Lee and Ditko, and Kirby was involved from the start. That, again, reinvigorated, created a new batch. They got super famous, okay? So it can be done. It has been done, okay? Even in drastically different time periods. Because the 40s were totally different from the 60s, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the characters that got created and endure to this day, and not all do. There are forgotten. Marvel brought back, was it, that book, The 12? Because Marvel's Golden Age characters are all but forgotten. All of them.
Yeah.
Except for Captain America. Yeah. And Submariner and Human Torch, the original. Mm-hmm. So yeah, these guys created stuff. They caught on, some of them. It was a different time, fine. In the 60s, Stan Lee and Kirby, and they create a new batch. They are just as powerful now, competing with Superman, and despite the difference in age, Spider-Man and Superman different ages. Avengers and Justice League are actually, and Justice Society are different age. So, can it be done today? Should it be? I mean,
could there be another generation? Do you think ever Spawn?
Well, we've had a few attempts, right? Yeah, we've had some attempts. Image came out.
Well, they never got their shit together because when they did Image United. And they were trying to do like a thing with the founding members.
Yeah.
They're all going to get together. They're going to draw these covers. They're going to draw this. I was excited. I was a fucking dildo for it. I was like, oh, cool. Let's do it, guys.
And then
I think when Liefeld dropped the ball and everybody else fucking dropped it. And somebody had to be an asshole. And
they were insanely successful. I was reading the back end of it. I'm reading this book, Super Gods, by Grant Morrison. It's a great book. And he just dissects comics. It's like an autobiography, but it's also like a dissection of the history of comics. It's a history of comics and a dissection of comics. It's great. So he went over the Image thing. Bro, those guys made so much money. They were so successful. Like those books, so they were artist deals, right? And so the deal was such that you'd get a dollar from every comic that was sold. And Spawn issue 1 sold like millions.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy became, think of that, one issue.
Instant
millionaire. Well, a millionaire.
Rob Liefeld used to say the same shit when he was on New Mutants and when he was doing all the shit.
Guys.
He was getting $1 million because it was the residuals. Yeah. They were getting a residual. They said, okay, if sales pass this mark, you get this much. Pass it. And they would put crazy shit on the end saying, you're not going to get there. And when it got there, they're like, oh, fuck. Yeah. Like, we got to pay these guys.
So that led to a revolution. We had something happen in our lifetimes, which was instead of a batch of new characters like came out in the 60s and changed comics, we had a creator revolution that happened right there, right when we were all 12 and 13 and 11 years old, of these, the top artists broke away and formed this company. Mm-hmm. They created pastiches of the characters, you know, Batman plus Spider-Man, Spawn.
And that's the first real indie revolution, anyway.
Right. Well, they
that happened. I mean, DC, there were so many.
I mean, DC had done certain advances in giving creators some of the back end, which is why people like Jerry Conway, he gets money from Killer Croc being used because he created it during his Batman run. Although Conway just a few weeks ago came out complaining about DC changing the way they do residuals.
Yeah, yeah, residuals up digital and
They've changed the definition of what a character is that you can get money off of. Because he created Killer Frost, who is now Caitlin on Flash.
Mm-hmm. Flash, yeah.
Caitlin Snow. He created that character. She ends up being Firestorm's villain, Killer Frost. But DC just sent out a message saying we are now changing the way we handle residuals for subsidiary characters or something. And their definition makes no fucking sense, and it's totally screws over the writers, and also like the writer has to inform DC of any usage for them to first file a claim. So by the time you see it, it's already been made. Mm-hmm. DC isn't informing you. TV shows are made 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. They're written 5 months ago, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So they're not telling the writer. So his shit comes out, and he's never going to get any money. So this is a real fucked up thing that's just happening right now, and that has to do with the corporate. And DC moving to LA and all that. But we had something big happen, and there was a batch of characters that came with it, right? Spawn and Wildcats and Youngblood, all these Image things. Dark Horse also happened in our lifetime in 89, and Dark Horse had its own 87. And they had a batch of original characters. Concrete is beautiful book. Creator owned.
Nothing ever happened more with that. I'm so surprised more people don't know about that.
Concrete, beautiful creator-owned book. I mean, and Usagi Yojimbo is bounced around. And so we have these beautiful creator-owned books, but they have not become that sensation that Marvel and DC were able to do.
I guess they don't... There's just not enough noise. Marvel and DC are really good about making noise, and getting heard. And, you know, whenever you walked into a Target and seen a Bone... fucking backpack.
They try with Bone a little bit.
You know?
Yeah, you're right. It has to do with a lot of things. It's movie deals. It's TV deals.
Yeah, I haven't seen a Bone backpack. Walking to Walmart, have you seen a Spawn T-shirt?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen? You know what I'm saying? Like Savage Dragon is not a. I'd have to explain who Savage Dragon is to somebody. If I said,
well, they
"Hey,
made their
read Savage Dragon," who the fuck?
They
is
made
that?
Their cartoons, and the cartoons sucked. The movie sucked. The HBO series for Spawn was okay. Image of itself got cut apart and even got gobbled back up by DC. Wildstorm?
Yeah.
Not only did they take Image, they took the creator and they gave him a plush. They made it. He's the publisher. Jim Lee's
the publisher. That was one of the smartest business moves ever.
Yeah. Jim Lee's the publisher of DC now. So that's what happened to our comic revolution that we witnessed. They bought it up.
Yeah.
And Image now has emerged as a very respectful indie publisher that supports creator-owned rights. They're one of the few that accepts submissions, right?
Yeah.
Image and Dark Horse, basically.
Dark Horse. Yeah, they have their Skybound imprint. They have Walking Dead.
Yeah, they do a lot of
They have some commercial... You know, Dark Horse right now is still reeling and picking up from fucking...
Star Wars Lost.
But, you know, they paved a lot of the path that a lot of these people used to make the movies.
Yeah. But now it seems like if you get a hit in a TV show, everything's option. Walking Dead.
Preacher. With the upcoming Preacher series.
Constantine failed.
It didn't fail. So.
Miserably.
It did not fucking fail. That was an
awesome show.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed the show
good. But you know what failed? The network failed. Because NBC should have never fucking picked up that show to begin with. It should have been somewhere else.
It's not an NBC show.
Well, Vertigo is also interesting because that's Karen Berger rising
in
the ranks.
She's still there anymore?
No, not anymore. She rose in the ranks at DC as an editor, being a good editor.
Well, she found a lot of people.
And
she's the one who, like...
And then got those British people over.
Neil Gaiman, and also Jill Thompson, a lot of talent.
She did so good that DC said, you know what, you're doing good. And she fought for creative rights, too.
Yeah.
And they said, and it's a woman. And this is 30 years ago we're talking about. And she fought for creative rights. They said, here, you can have your own imprint, do your weird stuff. Because we think it might be... And that's Vertigo.
Well, I think it was always DC, and for Warner Bros., their little art house. Their art house emblem. Hey, look, we're not a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
I have some culture, you know.
But it's, that's
cool
a lot of
here.
Culture, dude.
Yeah, and they even have, to a certain degree, like I tell John, you know, with Creature, like, if I model myself after something, it's like Vertigo. I want to, like, go to Vertigo style. I want to be more, not an art house, but somebody that's fucking
John's in the room,
dude.
By the way.
Yeah.
Say
John's
hi,
being
John.
All quiet in the fucking back.
Say hi, John.
Being fucking... Hey.
God damn!
But that's another part of the that's another part of the revolution that we've seen in our lifetime of comic collecting, right? Is the Vertigo thing in the late 80s and stuff. And it did lead to something. It also got subsumed.
And
it got consumed again.
And I have to say, they're probably the one that have like the most like fucking failures though, because Vertigo pumped out, and I'm saying this in a good way. Like they pumped out a lot of shit.
A lot of books.
Like they tried to really like, hey, and even shows they're hitting for the fences. Look at this series. Oh,
Army at Love, recent one I was reading. Army at Love, oh, beautiful.
Vertigo is one of those places that you can like
hilarious.
Go through
War
pick up a Vertigo book on random. Look at it, good art.
Mm-hmm. Good story.
You might not like this, or you might be like, this ain't my cup of tea.
Solid,
but they have like solid shit. Like they've been like really.
Well, it was the evolution of solid shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was DC's shit was getting so solid that they needed to put all the solid shit in one solid shit container,
mm-hmm.
and they called it Vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
The brick,
but the rest. But DC is just the
well. Now that's now, and I'm a DC fan, so for me, it's like they're killing me. They're ripping my heart out.
Yeah.
But I follow all the DC guys, all the DC creators that I grew up with. I've been Facebook friending them and following them now.
That's your hobby, right?
That's my hobby, and it's actually more entertaining than DC's comics. It's to read Mike Carlin's Facebook page. No, I'm not kidding, bro. You go to Mike Carlin's Facebook page or William Kaluta's Facebook page. You look at the art there. You look at any of these guys. They're putting good art up on their websites. First of all, great art, fantastic art, and then their sense of humor, their sensibility is what I connect with. These guys raised me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the fuck these guys are writing these comics. I know a lot of these editors are from non-comics backgrounds that they just recruit.
Well, a lot of people are TV people now.
Yeah.
Everybody's TV people.
And all these girls, these fucking girls, ruining comics. These goddamn
fucking
girls.
And this is where I'm going to end the fucking podcast. Because we're like at an hour 27 minutes already.
He doesn't hate girls, ladies and gentlemen.
Fucking girls, damn, well, like comic books.
He's a dirty Muslim who hates women in comics.
Why don't you create Girl Man? Why don't you create Girl Man, bro? And go have fun.
Girl Man.
The theme of today.
Girl Man and the Wonder Gang. And go, leave me alone.
Wonder Gang.
He just wants to partition comic shops. And Sharia law.
I don't want you. It was bad enough when you're sitting in the corner of Walden Books or whatever, reading your fucking mangas. Then you came to the comic store and they had a whole shelf of mangas for you there, and you sit reading comic rare while I'm trying to go through my back issues and find issue 42 of fucking Hawkman or whatever the fuck. And now Hawkman himself is a fucking drag queen, and everybody, nothing makes sense.
I've just converted.
So,
he spits hot fire.
So, in the end, Hawkman's a faggot.
No!
Force fit more than we'd eat in the wild. Grazed on a mash that could suffocate a child. Bloated, promoted in an ode to pomp and style. Moistening the feed while we choke upon the bile. Cornering the market on the geese without the bones. Hushing out the public in a strike without a drone. The cage became collapsible, our sticks equipped with stones. Get the motherfucker on the phone, the phone. Get the motherfucker on the phone.
Bye.
blanket, invisible with stains, inoculating bastards, bloody pecking pain. Distemper has a hold, distemper has a hold. We took the second sip from a cup we made of bones. The first sip was a ruse, a trick so aptly thrown. The truth is that our youth was a carpet laid in stones. Get the motherfucker on the phone, the phone. Get the motherfucker on the phone. Thank you.